This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Volume 4, His Sayings. Saying number 19, As a Weather Prophet. Uncle Remus was enlightening a crowd of Negroes at the car shed yesterday.
"There ain't nothing," said the old man, shaking his head pensively, "that ain't got no change wrote on it. There ain't nothing that ain't spotted before it begins for to commence. We all experiences that providence what lifts us up from one place and sets us down in the other. It's continually a moving and a moving."
"That's so. You're talking now," came from several of his hearers.
"I hear Miss Sally reading this morning," continued the old man, "that a man was coming down here for to take care of the weather. One of these here borough men's which goes around a putting up and pulling down."
"What he gwine to do round here?" asked one.
"He's a gwine to regulate the weather," replied Uncle Remus sententiously. "He's gwine to fix it up so that there won't be so much worryment among the white folks about the kind of weather what falls to their lot."
"He's gwine to dish 'em up," suggested one of the older ones, "like man dish out sugar."
"No," answered Uncle Remus, mopping his benign features with a very large and very red bandana. "He's gwine to fix 'em better'n that. He's gwine to fix 'em up so you can have any kind of weather what you want without toting her home."
"How's that?" asked someone.
"It's this way," said the old man thoughtfully. "In course you knows what kind of weather you want. Well then, when the man comes along, which Miss Sally say he will, you just gotta go up there, pick out your weather, and there'll be clocks up for to suit your case. And when you get home, there'll be your weather a-settin' out in the yard waiting for you. I wish you was here now," the old man continued. "I'd take a pair of frosts in mine if I catch cold for it. That's me." There were various exclamations of assent, and the old man went on his way singing, "Don't you grieve out of me." End of saying. Saying number 20, The Old Man's Troubles.
"What makes you look so lonesome, Br'er Remus?"
asked a well-dressed Negro as the old man came shuffling down the street by James's corner yesterday.
"You are mighty right. I'm lonesome, Br'er John Henry. When an old nigger like me has got to paddle a canoe and do the fishing at the same time, and when you bleeds to catch the fish and dasn't turn the paddle loose for to bait the hook, then I tell you, Br'er John, you are right where the mink had the goslin. Mars John and Miss Sally, they done been gone down under Putnam County for to see their kinfolks mighty nigh 4 days. And you better believe I done been had to scratch round mighty lively for to make the rations run out even.
I was at your house last night, Br'er Remus," remarked Br'er John Henry, "but I couldn't rouse you out of bed."
"It was the unseasonableness of the hour, I expect," said Uncle Remus dryly. "'Pears unto me that you all church deacons settin' up mighty late these cold nights. You'd be slippin' round after hours some time or another, and you'll slip bodaciously into the calaboose. You mind what I tell you?"
"It's mighty cold weather," said Br'er John Henry, evidently wishing to change the subject.
"Cold!" exclaimed Uncle Remus. "It got past cold on the quarter stretch. You ought to come to my house the night 'fore last. Then you'd have found me live and kicking."
"How's that?"
"Well, I tell you, Br'er John Henry, the cold was so cold, and the kiver was so light, that I thunk I'd make a raid on Mars John's shingle pile, and out I goes and totes in a whole armful.
Then I gets under the cover and tells my old woman for to lay him onto me like she was roofing a house. By and by she crawls in, and the shingles what she put on her side for to cover with, they all drop off on the floor. Then I gets up and piles them on again, and when I gets in bed, my shingles drop off. And that's the way it was the whole blessed night. First it was me up, and then the old woman, and it just kept us powerful long, too, that kind of exercise. Oh, you ought to drop round about that time, Brer John Henry. You'd a year'd show enough cussing.
You don't tell me, Brer Remus.
My old woman say the old boy wouldn't have found a riper nigger if he were to scour the country from Virginia to Alabama.
And the saying. Saying number 21, the 4th of July. Uncle Remus made his appearance recently with his right arm in a sling and his head bandaged to that extent that it looked like the stick made to accompany the centennial bass drum. The old man evidently expected an attack all around, for he was unusually quiet and fumbled in his pockets in an embarrassed manner. He was not mistaken. The agricultural editor was the first to open fire.
"Well, you old villain, what have you been up to now?"
"It is really singular," remarked a commencement orator, "that not even an ordinary holiday, a holiday, it seems to me, that ought to arouse all the latent instincts of patriotism in the bosom of American citizens, can occur without embroiling some of our most valuable citizens. It is really singular to me that such a day should be devoted by a certain class of our population to broils and fisticuffs."
This fine moral sentiment, which was altogether an impromptu utterance, and which was delivered with the air of one who addresses a vast but invisible audience of young ladies in white dresses and blue sashes, seemed to add to the embarrassment of Uncle Remus, and at the same time to make an explanation necessary.
"They ain't none of you young white men never had no occasion for to strike up with one of these here Mobile niggers?" asked Uncle Remus. "'Cause if you is, then you knows whereabouts the devilment come in. Show me a Mobile nigger," continued the old man, "and I'll show you a nigger that's marked for the chain gang. Hit may be the 4th or the 5th of July, or it may be the 12th of January. But when a Mobile nigger gets in my neighborhood, right then and there trouble sails in and engages boat for the season. I expect I'm as fond of these new United States as the next man what knows that the burrow is busted up. But long as Remus can stand on his hind legs, no Mobile nigger can't flip into this town longer no West Point inspection and boss around among the colored folks. That's me up and down, and I bound as a nigger somewheres on the road this blessed day that's got this put away in his remembrance."
"How did he happen to get you down and maul you in this startling manner?"
asked the commencement orator with a tone of exaggerated sympathy in his voice.
"Maul who?" exclaimed Uncle Remus indignantly. "Maul who? Boss, the nigger that mauled me ain't boned yet, and they a got to have another war for one is bond."
"Well, what was the trouble?"
"It was sort of this way, boss. I was standing down there by Mars John Jeems's bank, chat with Sis Tempy, which I ain't seen her before now going on 7 year, and watching the folks dropping by, when one of these here slick-looking niggers, with a bee-gum hat and a brass watch as big as the head of a beer barrel, come along and brush up again me, just like so. There was two of them, and they went along giggling and laughing like a nestle yellow hammers. By and by, they come along again, and the smart aleck brush up by me once more. Then I say to myself, 'I lay I fetch you if you give me another invite.' Sure enough, here come again, and this time he rub a piece of watermelon rime under my left ear."
"What did you do?"
Me? I'm a mighty long-suffering nigger. But he had no more touch me, for I flung these here bones in his face.
Here Uncle Remus held up his damaged hand triumphantly.
I sort of sprained my hand, boss, but dog my cats if I don't believe I spattered the nigger's eyeballs on the ground. And when he riz, his countenance looked fresh like beef haslet. I look mighty spimmin' and puny now, don't I, boss?
Inquired the old man with great apparent earnestness.
Rather. Well, you just ought to see me get my African up. They used to call me a bad nigger long before the war, and it looks like to me that I gets worse and worse. Brer John Henry say that I ought to subdue my rashfulness, and I don't dispute it. But turn a Mobile nigger loose in this town, 4th of July or no 4th of July, and me and him, one is going to land in jail. It's pruned into me.
And that's the last of the sayings in Uncle Remus. End of book.